Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden introduces a bill aimed at withholding federal funding for select communities, including even one of the largest cities in his 3rd congressional district, Eau Claire. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Western Wisconsin Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden made headlines this week calling for federal funds to be withheld from select communities, even including Eau Claire. The move comes in response to social media posts by 2 Eau Claire City Council members that have been interpreted by some as condoning or supporting the September 9th assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, whose funeral has been held public memorial in Arizona, in Glendale, Arizona, even today. Let's explain. An online petition seeking the resignation of these 2 Eau Claire City Council members due to comments about the death of Charlie Kirk first came out the day of the assassination, Wednesday, September 9th. In that social media post, Eau Claire City Council member Aaron Brewster shared a statement which Kirk said in 2023. In fact, this statement.
I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights.
That statement from the late Charlie Kirk. Another person on the social media thread posted by Brewster then asked, who is Charlie Kirk? And that's where Eau Claire City Councilmember Joshua Miller chimed in, saying, quote, a sick man who has been cut down by the very rhetoric he spewed, unquote. That exchange led to the nonprofit organization Eau Claire in the Know to start the online petition calling for the resignation of both council members. The petition says, quote, this comment made in the wake of a violent act implies that Kirk's belief for public discourse justified his murder. The petition goes on to say this is deeply inappropriate and undermines the principles of free speech and civil discourse. And it says advocating for one's beliefs and engaging in civil dialogue, regardless of one's stance, is a cornerstone of American liberty. Goes on to say the citizens of Eau Claire hold a wide range of beliefs, many of which align with those expressed by Kirk. City officials are elected to represent all residents respectfully and without partisanship. The petition continues saying, quote, the comments made by Councilmen Brewster and Miller have undermined public trust and raised serious concerns about their ability to serve impartially and responsibly, unquote. The petition concludes by calling for the resignation of both men, something Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge says is likely not coming. It goes on to say the petition says their actions have compromised the integrity of their office and eroded the confidence of the community that they were elected to represent. The petition asks people to submit their name and address, but it's not limited to residents of the city of Eau Claire. Well, then this week, Republican Congressman Van Orden got involved and his effort to potentially withhold funding, federal funding for cities like Eau Claire, who have council members who say comments like these, garnered him telling QOW-TV.
I don't think the federal government should be subsidizing people that are making these types of threats.
Van Orden says more needs to be done.
If they say these things in public, what are they saying in private? And when we send money from the federal government to the city of Eau Claire, how are they doling that money out? Do you think they're doing it in a biased manner? How could they do it in a non-biased manner if they're saying these incredibly vile things?
City Manager Stephanie Hirsch tells WQOW-TV the city of Eau Claire receives nearly $12 million in federal funding used for public health, helping families afford housing and public transit. Van Orden helps secure nearly $2 million in congressionally directed funding to build the new PFAS removal facility in Eau Claire.
Is woven throughout our whole city budget, and we're very reliant on federal funding. If we did lose our federal funding, it would be really catastrophic for the city services, and we would certainly have to close a number of departments.
In a press release issued Friday from the Berge for Congress campaign, as she is one of 3 Democrats who is vying for the right to square off against Van Orden in next fall's midterms, Berge, also the Eau Claire City Council president, in the statement, condemned all political violence and urges now is the time for finding common ground, cooling of rhetoric from all viewpoints, and coming together as human beings. She earlier in the week told WEAU-TV.
Derek Van Orden, our representative, who the electorate, his electorate has voted in to represent us, all of us, has come down on the city of Eau Claire. People are really angry with him, and they don't understand why he's punishing the city of Eau Claire.
As for the city council members in question, Berge tells WEAU.
So working through the democracy that we have, it's about, you know, when they're up for election, you vote them out if you don't agree with them or vote against their opponent. So that is not an option. I cannot fire them.
Berge says
Mr. Charlie Kirk's assassination last week was very impactful to our community across all. I mean, people had very strong reactions and responses across all political spectrum, and that is their right, as again, under the First Amendment. We are in a great divide right now, and we need to work to bring people together.
WEAU-TV reporters Kim Leadholm and Bob Gallagher conducted a lengthy interview, longer than 17 minutes, the full contents of which can be found at the WEAU website. Leadholm began by asking Van Orden to explain the bill he'd introduced and what his intention is with it.
The federal government will no longer be funding hate. We will no longer be funding organizations that or people that are directly in violation of U.S. Code 18, subsection 2331. Now, I have modified this bill by one word. I've got rid of celebrate and changed it to advocate. And the reason being is we got with an additional series. I mean, so you don't just introduce a bill for everyone's knowledge, your edification. It goes through a series of attorneys. And so we looked at that. Some people expressed concern, including my colleague, Mark Pocan, who I talked to on the street yesterday about this. So I ran it through a different series of attorneys, and they recommended removing the word celebrate, changing it to advocate. And so this does not infringe on constitutionally protected free speech. Because if you look up that U.S. code, you'll read it, and you'll see that we're standing on rock-solid constitutional grounds so that the federal government is no longer obligated to fund hate. Very simple.
So can you kind of help me understand what you consider definitions of political violence are and, like, condoning political violence comments like that?
I just told you to look it up yourself, ma'am. It's crystal clear, black and white, U.S. code. So, I mean, honestly, do your homework, because this is based in existing law that you can look up. It's less than 2 pages. Okay?
So who would you consider an employee of an entity? Like, is this just administrative staff, or is this anyone in a position?
It's anybody that is employed by any entity that is receiving federal dollars, and they're saying things or doing things that contravene U.S. Code 18, subsection 2331. And again, it's crystal clear.
You touched on this a little bit before, but is there any concerns that this could encroach onto free speech violations?
No, none at all.
And why is that?
Because not all speech is protected constitutionally, ma'am. If you yell fire in a theater, this is the classic example, you're subject to being arrested. And if you are espousing for political violence and terrorism, you can be arrested because it is, I'm telling you, black and white in the law, it's unlawful.
So you've shared some comments that other people have made on social media, which you seem to be identifying as political violence. They don't seem to be calling for violence. I guess I just am not understanding.
Okay. I'm going to say this one more time. If you look up the U.S. code and read it, it is crystal clear that what they are saying falls under this U.S. statute. So it's a little frustrating when I have clearly intelligent people like yourself who can read that you don't do your homework before you conduct this interview, and you expect me to walk you through this completely. It is crystal clear, black and white, U.S. Code, section 18, subsection 2331. I mean, I hope you can understand my frustration, ma'am. So what we're doing is this. We're trying to obfuscate. And you guys are part of the problem. You. So when you're trying to equivocate and obfuscate for the murder, the political assassination of an American citizen, and you're trying to find every single way to justify this, which you are, that's a problem. We can't do this anymore.
And some of the comments.
This legislation doesn't say Democrat or Republican. It doesn't. And Mark Pocan, I don't know if you know this, Mark Pocan had a death threat that we received through Senator Johnson's office in a recording. They directly threatened Mark Pocan, who I can't get further apart from him politically. I think it's impossible. And Tammy Baldwin. First thing we did is called their offices and the office of the Sergeant at Arms here in the House. And then we followed up with the Wood County Sheriff to get the person that made those threats arrested. So I vehemently disagree with Mark Pocan I can't think of an issue that we share. But in no way, shape, or form do I want him harmed. I don't want his husband harmed. I don't want his family harmed. I don't want anybody harmed physically for their political beliefs. But when you're breaking the law, which these people are, you need to be held accountable. It's very simple. Like, and I'm not doing this for me, ma'am. I'm doing this for your future children. And the gentleman behind you may have kids. I'm doing it for his kids and his grandkids. Because if we continue down this path, we will be involved in a civil war. And the first conflict I went to, Bosnia-Herzegovina, was a civil war. Then I went to Afghanistan. That was actually a civil war. And then I went to Iraq. That was a civil war. And then I worked in the Horn of Africa. That was a civil war. And I'll do anything I can administratively to prevent a civil war coming to this country for you and for your future children and, sir, in the back for your kids if you have them and your grandkids. Because I've seen it over and over and over again around the world, and I don't want it to come on our shores. And if we keep fighting each other this way and espousing political violence, which is, again, crystal clear, that's where it's going to lead to.
Again, Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden from a lengthy, more than 17-minute recorded interview he did with WEAU-TV, excerpts of which aired on air, but you can access the full interview at their website. Again, Congressman Van Orden putting forward a bill this week in Congress that would prohibit federal funding for entities that employ individuals who condone and advocate for political violence and domestic terrorism. Potentially, it could affect communities like Eau Claire in his 3rd congressional district. I'm Mark Halverson, thanking you for joining us on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. And again, our thanks to WEAU and WQOW-TV and for some of the sound that we used for this particular program to get you the latest information on this story. Thanks for listening to this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio.